Welcome to the March 23rd, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, How Can We Stay Dead? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter to everyone. We're so excited that you are here for worship this morning as we're coming in and getting ready for worship. Several announcements we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out members and guests alike who are here this morning. There is a way that we get that done. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone in attendance today to sign that, to let us know that you were here. Just sign your name and fill out the appropriate information, check the correct boxes. Send it down to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to sign that. When it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it started. This is a chance for when it comes back by you, if you're a member, make sure if there's a guest on your pew that if you find out their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service, that would be great and make them feel welcome. Once it gets back to where it started, if the first person that filled it out this morning could rip out those pages, and so our usher can get those at the end of the service, that would be very helpful. Thank you for doing that for us this morning. It has been an amazing Holy Week. We started last Sunday with Palm Sunday and went through Maundy Thursday and the Tenebrae service, and then last night with the Passion Rock Opera. It has just been, it's been a full week, but a very moving and powerful week. It has been wonderful services we've had together. It culminated last night with the Passion Rock Opera. We had over 200 people here, and many more faces that I did not know than I did. We had a lot of guests, and I promise you the gospel was proclaimed in a powerful way last night. And we were so thankful for all those that worked so hard from Palm Sunday all the way through the Passion Rock Opera and all the many things that happened this week. But the good thing is that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. It didn't end there. That we have a chance to have a new life because Jesus was resurrected. And that's why we are here for Easter Sunday morning. We thank you for being in worship. Now, several announcements that I'll make as we're going through the week. We are having children's time today. So if you look after hymn number 160, we're inviting the children to come down and visit with me for just a few minutes. So make sure that all the kids come down then. We are not having Sunday afternoon activities today. We want you to enjoy the afternoon with your family and your loved ones. So no evening activities today at all. We are 6 days away from the Bahamas mission trip. Our youth team of 25, 19 youth and 6 adults, we are leaving next Saturday to head to Marsh Harbor, Bahamas. We're very excited about that. A lot of people have worked extremely hard to prepare for this trip. There are some things that we do need your help with. We are trying to have a clothes collection. We're going to be taking some clothes down to the Bahamas to give away down there. So we're asking you, if you're in the process of getting your spring stuff out of the closet or whatever, that if there's some things that you were going to give to Goodwill, either spring or summer weight clothes, men, women, boys, girls, children of all ages, any clothes size that you have, we're going to collect those. And we're going to either take them to the Bahamas with us or have an event later on April the 19th, which is a Team I Am project here in the area. We need those clothes no later than Wednesday so that we can get them prepared to go to the Bahamas. So if you've got some clothes you want to donate, please bring those. There are boxes as you come into the church that you can put those clothes in. So thank you for helping us out with that. A reminder to the parents of our mission team, we need one parent from each family to meet with me Wednesday night at 6:45. Everything else is going on as normal. I'm going to meet with one parent from each family 6:45 this Wednesday for our final meeting. We'll meet down in Adult 4, so if you could help us out with that. We have some beautiful lilies that are here up front that are decorating our sanctuary. We thank those who donated these lilies, and we want you to know that at the end of the service today, we would love for you to come by and to take these home with you. Next Saturday, our GAs are hosting a Muffin for Missions Day. They are making their own muffins. They're having juice and coffee, and they want you to come and to donate money towards missions for the work that they're doing. Come and grab a snack next Sunday morning from 9 until 9:30. That they are working very hard about that. Our GAs are doing a fabulous job, and if you could help us out by supporting that, that would be helpful. Did I say that right? Sunday. I need to be corrected all the time. Sunday from 9 to 9:30. I apologize. So next Sunday morning, just before Sunday school, come and be a part of that. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this day. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We appreciate our ushers and all the work that they do in welcoming people, and they want to give a special welcome to our guest. If you're a guest, if you just raise your hand as they come back down the aisle. Inside this gift is a packet of information. It includes a letter from our pastor as well as information about the story of our church and a newsletter that tells you what's currently going on in the life of our church. So we appreciate the opportunity to worship with you, and we hope that this hour is a blessing to you. I don't know if you realize, but without Easter Sunday, there would be no reason for us to worship. Because Jesus Christ is powerful enough that he overcame the death and the grave. He's the only man in history to do that. It is a powerful thing to realize that we serve a God who is greater than death. And he gives that power to us. That's why we worship. When we come into this place, it's not some religion of rules and regulations that we worship. It is a risen Savior. And our worship should reflect that. In our spirit, in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions, we worship a risen Savior. And it is a blessing. That's why we've come this morning on Easter Sunday morning to worship and to thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of his power over the grave. You will find in your bulletin a responsive reading that we call our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading. This morning's is based off of Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. I invite you to stand now for this responsive reading. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Joyful is the sound we make this morning.
For this day liberates us from doubt and fear.
Thankful is the song we sing.
For this day moves us past darkness and despair.
Hopeful is the prayer upon our lips.
For this day awakens in us long-awaited new life.
Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there among them."
Christ is risen. Christ lives here and now. He is among us at this and every moment.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
pray together. Father, sometimes it's hard to find the words to tell you exactly how we feel. And so sometimes we come back to just being in awe, not saying anything, because the words that we use are so inadequate. So we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For on the cross you paid the price for our sins. You took the punishment that we deserved and put it on Christ's shoulders. But it didn't end there. Our sin is not the end of the story. It's Jesus' resurrection. His conquering death and sin. That is where our story begins and ends. Easter Sunday morning is why Christians exist around the world and down through the centuries. For what Christ did coming out of the tomb and the power that he has over death gives us a reason to worship. And so we come unable to say thank you enough. But this morning we're going to try. This morning we're going to tell you how we feel. Tell you how thankful we are that even on our darkest days, that your power is greater. And so we come. Even on our best days, we only have one place to look. And it is to you, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, our guide. And so we come. We come to worship with everything that we have. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John. And if you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from the 20th chapter. Verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid them." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know what it was. She did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. If you'll follow along in the responsive reading, I will read the dark print, or read the light print, and if you would respond by reading the dark print. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed."
Amen.
to invite all the children to come on down. Right. Oh, sit right there. It might be. All right. We got plants and we got children. All right. Have a seat. And then, oh no. Hey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Y'all are looking good. Matthew, you doing all right this morning? You looking sharp? Y'all are looking sharp, looking good. Hey, do y'all like surprises? Me too. I have a surprise. This, do you know what this kind of toy is? A jack in the box. Listen. Oh, it, but you didn't know when. Let's try it again. All right, you watching? Oh, did that surprise me? Did that surprise you, Murphy? You want to watch it again? It didn't surprise you. Well, I'm the only one that got surprised then. All right, here we go. We're going to try it again. Thanks, Caleb. All right, here we go. Oh, just when you think it's not going to come out, it does. You know, I like surprises. And there's a surprise in the Bible that we heard a few minutes ago. You know, Jesus, he was put on the cross and he died. And then the ladies, he's very sensitive. Put him back here. All right. Now the ladies, there were two ladies that went. Now, I see that. Where are your parents? All right. There were two ladies that they went to take care of Jesus' body. And they were on the way and they got to him and the tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't there. Do you think they were surprised about that? Yeah, they were expecting, like the jack in the box, they were surprised and they were like, why? Where is he? And they were surprised and they were a little scared. And there were these two angels that they were saying, why are you here? Why are you looking for the dead? He's arisen. Jesus is alive. Do you think that's a surprise? Yeah, that's a pretty good surprise. Jesus is alive. And I want you to know that that's exactly why we're here this morning. Yeah, it was a surprise to the ladies, but he was trying to tell them all along, look, this is what I'm going to do. I've got to rise from the dead. I love my people, all you. He loves you so much that he had the power to overcome death because he loves you. That's the greatest surprise ever, don't you think? All right. Well, let's go back to our seats, and then I'm going to have our prayers. Go back to where you were, and I'm going to have a prayer. Okay. Thank you. It's a beautiful thing to watch children smile. And I'm talking about all of God's children. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning I am reminded that you see us, all of us, as we see these children. We are your sons and your daughters. And you love us so much. You love us so much that you would do anything for us. And you showed that. You showed that on the cross. You showed that you loved us enough that you wouldn't leave us alone. That through Jesus' life, you showed us that there is something greater that you have in store for us. That the sin that has kept us back, the choices that we make to go against you, all of those things, when we choose to go our own way, when we choose to make our own priorities. You give us the freedom, yes, but you remind us on the cross that there is something greater. That if we would just give our lives over to you, give our choices, our priorities, our time, our money, our attitudes, our actions, our words, if we gave all of these things over to you, you would transform them and surprise us with the life that we could have. That's what you offer us. A new start. A new chance. And so this morning we come and we pray for that new chance. We come realizing that our world is broken. And that everywhere we go that there are challenges and obstacles that we face. Both in Winston-Salem, in our own homes, but around the world. That this world is broken. Torn by war and conflict. And if we would just return to loving you, to loving our neighbors, to loving ourselves enough that we put you first. That's the lesson of Easter Sunday morning. Father, we recognize that this day many of us, our minds are other places. So we are thinking about loved ones who have passed away, loved ones who are sick, people that are in prison, people that are homeless. They are all your children. The thing that we all share is our need for you. So as we continue in our hour of worship, remind us our work is not done. There is a world that is broken and in need of your message of hope and forgiveness. And thank you for the cross, and thank you for the empty grave. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
us pray. Father, Creator, we humbly thank you for the gift of your Son. We ask that we never forget what was sacrificed for us. We rejoice that he has risen. We ask forgiveness for our sins and that we may always follow your path. Please accept these, our gifts, and let us use them to spread your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus rode on a donkey on a Sunday. People hailed him as king. They laid palms before him as they praised and adored him on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
On a Thursday.
Jesus found his disciples on a Thursday. Jesus was their king. Then he went to a garden, prayed that God would die on a Thursday.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday. He is Lord and every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He is Lord and his kingdom shall stand in truth and righteousness. On a Friday, Jesus suffered in silence. On a Friday, Jesus died on a tree. He cried, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. On a Friday.
Jesus was dead. His death was a violent and a painful death. Now, less than 40 hours later, his followers, his closest followers, have gathered together and they're literally in a state of shock. They couldn't believe what had just happened. You know, suddenly Jesus had come into their lives 3 years before. Very suddenly he had appeared upon the scene in terms of changing their world, and now just as suddenly he had changed their world again. He was gone. They felt hurt. They had come to see that Jesus had something to offer, something that now they realize they just can't do without. So how are they going to go on living their lives without him? So they were hurt. They also felt anger. They felt anger to the ones who would not stop until they got what they wanted, and that was Jesus' death. They were also angry at themselves. Angry at themselves that they didn't do more to prevent this from happening. Because they saw it coming. They felt it coming all around them. And they were also angry that Jesus had allowed it to happen. Jesus had let them kill him. And Jesus had left them alone. Which leads us to shame. They were also very much ashamed. They were ashamed of their own actions. They had run away like scared children. Every single one of them. And Peter, to live with his shame. Not only had he run away, but then he had denied that he even knew Jesus. Not once, But three times. How would he deal with that? They were angry. They were hurt. They were ashamed. They felt empty. They felt abandoned, drained, numb. When Jesus died, something within them died as well. And then something happened. Something dramatic. Something beyond wonderful. Something past amazing. Jesus came back from the dead. First Mary Magdalene saw him. Then the disciples. Then a couple of guys out for a Sunday stroll on a road saw him. And then many more came to see Jesus alive again, risen from the dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. How could he? Son of God, Lamb of God, how could he? Healer and raiser from the dead himself, how could he? He who had declared as his life's mission healing the brokenhearted, preaching deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, setting at liberty the ones who were oppressed and bruised and bound. How could he remain dead? Co-creator with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So how could he? How could he stay dead? How can we stay dead? How can we stay dead? We overhear Paul, as he was writing to the church at Rome, he said in chapter 6, verse 8, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. What a thing to say. Hope and believe. You know, like Jesus, we don't have to settle for staying dead. You know, we all can have a post-death experience, if you will. To perceive the truth of what Paul is saying to us, we need to understand what he means by death and what he means by life. You see, because Paul is not referring to physical death. He means a deeper death, a far more deadlier death, if that's proper. He means the worst kind of death, the worst kind of death. It's the kind of death where you're a dead man or a dead man walking, in a sense, kind of a living dead. This is the kind of death where you can be dead and not even know it. You can be dead and in a constant state of denial about your death status. This is the death of the soul that he's referring to. It's the death of the spirit. There was a poet in the early 1800s, fellow by the name of Jones Very. The jury is still out as to whether he was a genius or a madman. But he was a brilliant writer. His mother was an atheist who defended her lack of belief with tenacity. He grew up in that environment and came to know God in a spiritual sense and perhaps even a personal sense. But he wrote a poem in 1838 entitled The Dead. I want to read it to you. He wrote, I see them crowd on crowd, they walk the earth, dry, leafless trees, no autumn wind laid bare, and in their nakedness find cause for mirth, and all unclad their winter's rudeness dare, no sap doth through their clattering branches flow, whence springing leaves and blossoms bright appear, their hearts, the living God, have ceased to know. You see, this poet aptly describes spiritual death. And in a poetic way, he identifies the root cause of spiritual death in the last line of the poem where he says, their hearts, the living God, have ceased to know. To refuse to be known and loved by the living God is sin. It is the sin. Notice how Paul speaks of sin in Romans chapter 6. He says, shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? We might no longer be enslaved to sin in verse 6. And then in verse 12, he said, sin will have no dominion over you. Sin. You see, when Paul speaks of sin, more often than not, while he speaks of sin, we would rather speak about sins, plural. Why is that? Well, I think it's a natural tendency because we would like to compare. We would like to compare little sins with big sins. We would like to compare minor sins with major sins. We would like to compare secondary and primary sins. And you see, when I speak of sins, it gives me the luxury of focusing on your sins instead of mine. It gives me the luxury and helps me feel like I'm a better person because, after all, your sins must be bigger than mine. See, Paul doesn't get into that conversation. Paul doesn't talk about sins, plural, because he knows that that misses the weightier problem. You know, the major malady, the more pressing malady, which is our sin, our estrangement from God that results in spiritual death before the grave. This is the death that is separation from God. This is the death which caused Adam and Eve to hide from God in God's very own garden. This is the death that is disobedience to the will and the ways of God. It's being disloyal to that which is royal. This is the death that caused King David to cry out in the pit of his guilt and his shame and his remorse. He cried out, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." The joy of your salvation. This is the death of being so surrounded by sin and evil that you lose the sense, the complete sense, of the presence of God. Remember what Jesus cried out on Friday as he was on the cross, dying at the hands of injustice, domination, and oppression. He cried out these words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, sin is spiritual death. It's separation from God. It's estrangement from God. So how can we stay dead? How can we live our lives with little or no prayer? How can we live our lives with little or no faith? How can we live our lives with little or no love? How can we live our lives with little or no forgiveness? How can we live our lives with little or no trust? I believe Jesus' aliveness has to do with his godness. You see, listen to his conversation with Mary as Ward read the passage. Remember what he said to Mary. You know, he's come back from the dead, and all he can talk about is his Father. Going back to be with his Father. He says, "I'm going to be with my Father." You see, Jesus' aliveness has to do with his godness, his oneness with the Father. And Paul understood that. Later in chapter 6 of Romans, he says, "The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Your aliveness, my aliveness, has to do with our ability to accept the sacrifice of Jesus and his godness. You see, that's why it's possible for some to have riches and fame and power and all of that and still feel empty on the inside. What does it profit a man for him to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? What does it profit a woman to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? You see, you can have it all, quote unquote, yet if you don't have God, you don't have anything. It's his godness that made Jesus the ultimate sacrifice. There's a popular phrase that kind of pops up from time to time in pop music or poetry, and it likens trying to navigate life or living without God to a ship without a sail. And that's a pretty good metaphor if you think about it. You know, living without God is like being a ship without a sail. Living without God is like being a ship without a sail. Oh, but with God, all things are possible. With God, truth that was crushed to earth rises again. With God, you can rise. With God, you can live. With God, you can have a second chance. With God, you can stage a comeback. And with God, you can walk in the newness of life. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, our desire is to walk in the newness of life that you provided through the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that he was one with you in creation. We know that he was one with you as he came to earth as the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And Father, now we embrace the knowledge of who he is, and we embrace the knowledge of the fact that we need a Savior. And so as your children, we come to you, and Father, we pray that if there are some here this morning who do not know you as their God, that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would open their hearts right now and they would say, God, I need you. Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I pray that you'll come into my heart, that you'll save me from sin that separates me from God, that you'll be my Lord, that you'll walk with me, that you'll encourage me, and that your Holy Spirit will give me power to live in a way that would please you. Father, that's our heart's desire, to see others come to know you and have that kind of relationship with you. So Father, move now. Let your Holy Spirit be free in this place to convict us of our sin and draw us closer to you. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we ask these things, and for his sake that we ask these things. Amen. On this Easter Sunday morning, I can't think of a better day for you to make your relationship with Christ better, to make your relationship with Jesus Christ whole. And the way you do that is you simply open your heart to him and pray that he would come into your life, that he would save you from your sin. If you are not a believer, but you would like to be, that is how you do it. I'd be glad to lead you during the hymn we're going to sing in just a moment. I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you and lead you in that prayer. If you've already prayed that prayer and you would like to profess Christ for the first time publicly, we invite you to come make that known to us this morning. If you are a believer, but you just need to kind of square things away to get back on track with God, I invite you to do that. The altar will be open. You're welcome to come here and pray, or pray where you're standing, where you're singing. If you are a Christian and a believer and would like to come and see how we receive members here at College Park, I'd be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your heart's desire is, we invite you to make that public as we stand and sing together now. I invite you to remain standing. I have, well, probably need to sit down. You may need to sit down to see Davis here. Come here, Davis. Sorry, honey. We're not saying you're short, but they need to see you, right? This is Davis Huff. She is coming this morning to let you know that she's prayed to receive Christ, but she wants you to know about that. And she wants to be faithful to the example of Jesus and be baptized, and that'll be in a couple of weeks here. If you would pray for her, rejoice with her family, and continue to encourage her and teach her as she grows and matures in her relationship with Christ, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right. She's going to be here at the conclusion of the service, and ask her parents to come and stand with her, and brother, and anybody else that wants to come stand with her, grandma, grandpa. Come on up. I know y'all are proud, and we want you to come stand with her. Norca, would you come also? Gary, come stand with her, if you would. This is Norca Zafuto. This is Gary Zafuto's new bride, and we're delighted to have her. And she is coming by transfer of letter from Iki Church in Japan, which is affiliated with the Japan Baptist Convention. And she is coming. She wants to be part of this fellowship by transfer of letter. And if you would pray for her and encourage her and support her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. I know you want to come by and meet them at the conclusion of the service. Would you join me now in standing for our benediction? Dear Father, it's been a glorious day to be in your house, to experience worship. Father, to sense your Spirit moving among us, filling our hearts. Father, we pray that as we're filled up, then we would pour out, that the love of Christ that fills us would be poured out on those that we will contact today and in the days to come. As we do that, Father, we know it will please you, because your desire is for us to be your children, children who are proud of the God that we serve. Father, give us courage and strength, hope and peace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.